What up?
What up? I was like, we got to run it back. That's what's up. I'm here for it. So it's a lot going on over here. And if y'all watching, I'm doing my hair. Okay. And I'll tell you about that in a little bit. But if you're listening, just listen and it doesn't even impact you. Okay. All right. Cool. Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because this is not what I expected when I got on the StreamYard link.
I know, but I've got to catch you up. But anyway, hey y'all, welcome to Life Unfiltered. Feel that shit. This is the podcast where we fearlessly navigate the complexities of life, love, grief, and the extraordinary journey of healing. We bringing y'all along on this Raw and Unfiltered journey as we share our stories, triumphs, challenges, and all to inspire and uplift.
Yes, indeed. Because in a world that often encourages us to mask our struggles, we choose to lead with love and vulnerability. It is finally time to collectively address our own shit and have some real conversations. So we're here to voice the things that you might not have verbalized or even thought about so we can get to the root of the shit and heal.
So 2024 is the year of popping that shit. And that basically means that we are putting respect on our name. We're coming off of being fake humble and playing small. So we want to lead by example. So my name is Kim Berland. I am an educational advocate, activist, consultant, a visionary motivational speaker, a virtual producer, network executive, professional development facilitator, intuitive melanated life coach. I help people design their relationship, deepen their relationship with God and design a unique personal relationship with God where they are able to understand their purpose and how they can positively impact the world. I'm also a professional frolicker and currently living in Medellin, Colombia.
Yes, indeed. I love the way you made that flow like that. Yeah.
I do what I can.
You popping it today. You popping it today. And the curls pop it too. Okay. The curls are popping, sis.
Girl, right. But they freshly washed. Okay. You should have been in the shower. I was like, hey, Google, how much time? How much time do I have? How much time? Because anyway, I'll get into that in a second. Tell the people who you are, Folkies.
Yes, indeed. My name is Bianca Goolsby. I'm a digital strategist, a consultant, an education activist, and a certified snitch.
Snitch.
Yes, indeed. I am a private investigator and receipt collector, so please put some respect on my name. And I'm the founder of Teaching for the Culture, where we transform, we empower, we advocate, we coach, we heal. I'm also an intuitive melanated life coach and a digital nomad currently working and traveling wherever there's Wi-Fi. And currently I'm in Tallahassee, Florida. And my purpose is to empower others to find their own path to freedom and fulfillment. Yes, indeed. I didn't have the air horns queued up, so womp womp, but here we are. I'm definitely going to work on like the short keys. That's something that I'm actively working on. We'll talk about that later in the transparency moment, because this digital detox and this digital audit is something real serious. Okay. We're about to get real serious. But anywho, in this space right here. Okay. We operate by three keys. That is accountability, transparency, and integrity. And we have some community agreements. So before we go further, we want to make sure that we're clear about expectations, what you can expect from us and what we can expect from you. Amen. So what you can expect from us to have and honor the three keys. Okay. We're going to speak freely. We're going to keep it real and we're going to cuss if and when we feel like it. So if you have little listeners, you might want to put some AirPods or headphones, or maybe not, that's your business, but we're just being very transparent and upfront with how we communicate with each other and with you and what we can expect from you. Hate speech and hate comments are not welcomed here. We believe in the Block and Be Blessed ministry. Amen. So please be very intentional with how you engage with others in social spaces, particularly this one, because this one is a safe space. And we want you to engage and go on this journey with us. We're not the experts, but we are facilitating the conversation. So We want you to participate in this journey. Bring people with you. Tag people in the comments. Let us know where you're watching from, because together we are committed to doing the work to heal. So you got the updates and the church announcements, ma'am. So what we got over there?
Just a couple, and it's basically just letting y'all know how to interact with us. We're really starting to see people that are coming from this community and showing up in other communities, and we are doing our cross universal collaborations. So just a reminder that we have emojis. For this space, our standard heal that shit emoji is the heart with the bandage around it. So anytime that you share that, that lets us know that you are coming from this place and you're in this community of healing. We also have individual emojis. So my emojis are the sunflower, which is yellow is my favorite color. My glasses are yellow. Today I even have on yellow shorts. I was drinking out of a yellow cup. Like, yellow brings me joy. It makes me happy inside. And then my other emoji is the crayon, because I, in my reflection, realized that I was spending a lot of my life in black and white and gray. And I am intentionally making sure that I color the fuck out of my life. So the crayon also.
Yes, indeed. It brings me joy every time that you say that, talking about the crayon. Yes, yes, indeed. Well, my emojis is the teddy bear. As you can see, I'm in my armor. This is my safe space. This is what I enjoy. And I can't wait to leave another one of these in Kimberlyn's closet. I'm sure we'll get to that at some point. And the other emoji is the hands that are forming the heart that makes my heart so happy. For those that know my journey, I have a pacemaker with 10 years left on the battery. Amen. And of course, I love the symbol. It means a lot. So thank y'all for always putting those in the comments and showing love that way. It is greatly appreciated. And we definitely love it.
Cool beans. So are we ready to get into spirit check and all the things or other announcements?
I don't think that we have any other announcements. I think we can go ahead and do the spirit check.
Bet. All right. So let's do our spirit check. Now, the colors for the spirit check: green, I'm absolutely wonderful. Life is great. Blue, I'm good. I don't have any complaints. Purple, I'm okay. Things could be better. Yellow, I'm not doing so well. I need support. All right. So if you are watching, feel free to share in the chat what your spirit is feeling like today. And if you are watching the replay, also feel free to share. If you're listening, just take a moment to pause. So do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
So I am a bright blue with
a bright blue. Okay.
A bright blue. But there are green gemstones.
Oh, this gets more and more descriptive every week. I love it.
There are green gemstones of just pure joy and all of it. So yeah.
Okay.
That's it. That's filled with my spirit.
So I probably have every single color that's on there right about now. it's been a lot. I'm going to just go ahead on and transition us on over into our transparency moments and such, because, child, it's been a lot. It's like, so. Where do I even start? Let's start with why I had to wash my hair and work back. Okay. So, you know, I live by routine, right? And that routine is important to me. And when my routine is disrupted, it's very difficult for me to get my shit together, basically. But I also have become more and more acutely aware that needing routine and being bothered by routine being disrupted is very much an autistic trait. And the more and more that I deal with it, the more and more that I realize, girl, you got that tism, sis. Like, you really, you really got the neural spiciness, boo. So I have really been trying since you left. How long you been gone now?
It's been a week.
A week? Okay. So since you have left, I was like, the first thing that I had to do was like, I told you I had to purify my my sound bowl because you had put your petty paws on it. So that was the main situation that had to be taken care of. And that was like top priority, right? But after that, I don't know if people know what you're doing. Tell the people what you're doing in case they are unaware of this little ting-a-ling-a-ling that's in the background.
So this is the petty bill, okay? The petty bill gets activated when there's some pettiness afoot and it needs to be documented on camera because we're live and people are watching and we'll watch this later. And so this needed to be documented. What was said about the bowl needed to be documented.
I think we need to define what petty means.
You know,
because I feel like you also be saying that stuff is petty and slander, and it don't really be.
Now we're adding words to it. At first, we were talking about petty, and then you added slander to the mix. And it didn't
because
have to be.
I figured I might
have to be that. It did not have to be that. I don't know why you continue to do this and think that I'm just not gonna
snitch.
Absolutely not,
Bianca. Somebody need to silence your soundboard. Anyway, so I had to like re-get myself back together, right? So that's what I spent the week doing. But then also, I was having, so my cycle came this week, right? And let me say to our listeners, if you're listening and you own a vagina, you gonna understand. If you don't own one, you should probably stay and learn you something right quick. Because you know what I have discovered over the past 43 years of my life, but more importantly, so over the past few years, people who don't own vaginas, they really don't care about us, our healthcare, like what all we go through and what not fun it is every month to have to feel like your uterus is falling out. They don't, of course, they can't empathize, right? Because they don't have a vagina or a uterus, but they don't even, they just don't care. And it's really interesting to me. So that's a side note, just pin that. But anyway, I have been struggling. Like this past week has been so wild because I was going to get my cycle and then I was having like these ghost symptoms. So I was having cramps and like cramps like I was having my cycle, but my cycle really wasn't here. And that's the first time that that's ever happened. So, and then I was dealing with so much nausea to the point where I knew I wasn't pregnant, but I was like, let me take a pregnancy test because baby, maybe the immaculate conception is over here or something. Like, what is happening, you know? So that was going on. Then, I live with OCD and I was talking about this on So You Don't Put Syrup on Grilled Cheese, which is my podcast with my cousin. But I want you to imagine what it is like to have OCD, struggle with bathrooms, to be bleeding for a week straight, which means that you have to deal with the bathroom much more often and much more frequently, to be feeling like every part of my body is filthy, but then not having the energy to take multiple showers, every time I feel like I'm just dirty as dirty can be. Like, it has been so much. And I didn't realize how much cognitive energy that I was using to function. So, like, I've had some, that's why I said my, for my spirit check, like, everything is kind of all over the place as far as what my colors are, because there have been some really great moments. So, for instance, yesterday, I have a new position with this company that I contract with. So I hosted my first event, and it was really awesome and all of that. And it was great. And then today, this morning, I was like, I am exhausted. Like, all of that energy that I took to quote unquote be on was a lot, to the point I had to really today just take everything off my calendar, because I knew I had to facilitate another course today and they needed all of my energies. I really, when I was in the shower earlier this morning, I was like, I'm trying to recreate and I'm trying to reestablish everything. And it's been a lot. On top of that, my housekeeper was out, so that schedule is off, right? So that means that when things are normally, the rotation that things are normally getting cleaned on, that's not happening. So then all I see is everywhere. It's just, I see everything that's dirty. So then I'm like walking with my toes crunched and like just trying to find some type of safety in all of that. And it just really made me think about invisible disabilities, because I was having a conversation with somebody about something I needed. So time is very important to me, right? Because I have time blindness. So I do my best to be ready at whatever time I'm supposed to be ready at. And things like, for me, things are down to the minute. So it's like, for instance, coming here tonight, I was washing my hair, right? So I had finished facilitating at like 6 o'clock. So then I said, okay, I have 45 minutes to get my stuff together and wash my hair. Why do I have to wash my hair? Because the housekeeper is coming tomorrow. And after I wash my hair, the shower is going to be dirty. So I need her to be able to reset that, as opposed to her coming and then me washing my hair. And now the shower is dirty for 2 weeks, right? So I had to do that. So I'm like, okay, I need to wash my hair and I've got to do it today. But then I was like, do I wait till after the show to do it, or can I do it in the meantime? And I was like, you know what? I'm going to just do it now, because if I don't do it now, I can't say I'm going to have the energy later. So let me do it now. And then I'll just be doing my hair on the show, because it's just too much to deal with, right? So anyway, as I was having this conversation with the person about time, they were like, well, everything is always about you and you need to do this and this and that, like as if I was being selfish. And it's incredibly misinformed. Let's just start there. It's an incredibly misinformed opinion. But even more so, it's, and by the way, is a doctor. Okay. So the reason I'm bringing all of this up is because people can still be insensitive and ignorant to what life is like, especially a neurodivergent life, even when they are neurodivergent, even they have the schooling or whatever that should give them the understanding of what's happening, they still are forming their own opinion through their own lens. And instead of curiosity, they form a judgment. So the judgment that was formed is that I was being selfish. No, I'm actually trying to be informed, is what I'm trying to be. So I understand what's happening where I need to be, because I lose track of time. So if you want me to be available at a particular time, then you need to give me the information so that I'm able to be available at that time. Otherwise, I know that I'm going to lose track of time, right? Mm-hmm. But having to like explain that and advocate that for that really pushed me into this place of doing a village audit because I asked myself, how many people do I feel like I have to defend my existence, or I have to over explain what I need, or they are approaching me with a lack of understanding, or how many people have access to me and didn't even know that I had a rough week? You know what I mean? So it like really got me to thinking about a lot of things. So I'm going to pause there and I'm going to let you jump in because I know you'll be having questions and stuff.
Ooh. Well, first, I just want to say sorry because you deserve better than that. But also, yeah, I do have a couple wonderings. So in this village audit, what are some of the key requirements or some of the questions that you're going to ask to determine who stays and what level of access they will receive moving forward?
Well, I think the main question that I usually and continuously ask is, does this relationship bring me joy? Mm. But deeper than that, the question that I was asking myself today was, do I still feel like I have to mask with this person? You know, if I still feel like I have to be very, like, this is the thing. I don't feel like I should have to go into a whole 15-minute explanation of how I have OCD and how you're triggering me, right? If I've already explained this to you. So for instance, something for me is shoes in the house, because this is the thing. I want you, this is what goes through my mind. I'm going to invite y'all into the mind of what it's like to live with OCD. All right. It's dirty. I don't know if y'all know that, but it's dirty outside. The ground is dirty. The things are dirty outside. Okay. People spit outside. People pee on the ground. It's all kinds of things that happen outside. All right. Okay. So outside is dirty. So you walk to your house and then you take them dirty shoes that's been outside, spit, pee, whatever else was out there on the ground, feces, dog, whatever. And then you take all them germs and then you walk in your house with it, right? So what happens for me is I'm also a biologist, right? So I've grown cultures and plates of bacteria, and I know what that looks like. And I know how just a small thumbprint of a transfer transfers germs, right? So this is not helpful per se, but it is the reality. Many people don't think about that apparently in life. That is all I think about. So if someone comes to the house, I'm like, please get off. Okay. Because now it's dirty. Now, if you don't take your shoes off, let's say you forget and you walk around. So now I'm looking at the pieces of the floor that you've walked on, that you've now tracked that stuff in. We can't see it. It's invisible, but it's there. Right. So I'm looking at all of that. Okay, then I'm like, whew, okay, this is a lot. Now I need to mop. I need to like, but if I walked across that, now my house shoes, which are clean, are now dirty because now I have walked in an area that's already contaminated. So now I'm like, I need to wash my house shoes, but I can't wash my house shoes if the floor is dirty, because how am I gonna do that? Now my feet are gonna be dirty. Ah, it's a lot. Right. So it is constant. Okay. And just because I'm not showing it on the outside doesn't mean that it's not happening. And that's why I said invisible disabilities. Right. I see T in the comments that I'm highly neurodivergent and people feel like with my accomplishments that my neurodivergent brain can function neurotypically and it can't. Right. So if I have a person in my life where I feel like I have to keep over advocating for myself and I need to keep saying that same thing to you, and you are making this an issue with me as opposed to just honoring it, you can't, you got to go. Because if this was something that I could control and turn off, I promise you I would. It is absolute torture to have to interact with something that sends your nervous system into survival mode every single day, multiple times a day, a bathroom. That's hell. And even tonight I was training and I was telling them, after you have a triggering event, it takes 30 to 90 minutes for your nervous system to regulate so that you're able to accept learning and to be creative and all of that again, right? So I want y'all to think about how many times you go to the bathroom in a day, and that it would take me 30 to 90 minutes to regulate myself every single time after that. I don't want to have to explain that. I want people in my life that understand that and they are thinking about how they can help me to be successful, as opposed to, because I feel like people do stuff like, well, I'ma just, this hasn't happened, but I'm just saying, like, somebody might be like, oh, I forgot to take my shoes off, so I'ma just tiptoe and I'ma go over here. That, like, if I was standing there and you saw me do it and you knew I would have a problem with it, why are you doing it? You know what I mean? Like, so take the time to honor what's happening, you know? And I'm using this example of my house, but there are so many examples of things that just have been happening in my life that I felt like I've had to over-explain. And one of those things, and not necessarily, I'm not going to say over-explain, but one of the things was explaining the situation that's gone on with my mother, because what I've discovered is that my OCD is triggered when my trauma is triggered. And that's not anybody's fault per se, right? Like, you know, nobody in my life here in Colombia asked for my mother to try to barge her way into my life. But because that has happened, it's up to me to be like, okay, this is what's happening with me, but it's the people around me that need to understand this is how this manifests and this is how you can support me, as opposed to putting me in a position where I feel like I'm fighting for my life to explain. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
So
that something resonated with me with what you said, and it was like constantly having to explain my existence and how I show up and being exhausted of having to go through that process of having to re-explain who right. I am and what works best for me.
Yes. And people be getting mad because they don't know what works best for them. And they don't honor themselves. So then you mad because I'm sitting here telling you what I need in order to be successful. And you're characterizing that as selfish. But no, you need to be advocating for yourself as well. But people don't do that because people are masking. And, you know, like, again, it's a step I'm masking, but it's not my problem that you don't know how to accept the fullness of me. And I don't have people in my life that cannot honor the fullness of me.
Mm. Yes, indeed. Mm.
So I've been crossing people off the list because I can't do that. I don't have the energy to be trying to explain, especially for people who claim that they care about you. I shouldn't have to keep saying this to you. If you claim that you care about me, listen to what the hell I'm saying.
Right.
And honor right. that. You don't have to understand it. Just honor it because you care about me. You know? So that's been going on in the background. And I'm just really like, I don't know. My brain lately feels like it is not even a key crank car. My brain lately feels like it's a car that you had to crank like when cars first came out. Like, that's what my brain feels like lately. Because today I had taken my medicine. Like, I started late. I canceled all the meetings and all of that. And then I took my medicine and it was like, finally, somebody was at the office. Because before I took my medicine, nobody was at, like, nothing was happening in my brain at all. And then I took my medicine and it was like, oh, okay, people are here. Oh, y'all do work here. Oh, okay. Well, can we get some things done, please? Like, what's going on? So I've been trying to get myself back. And then the thing I'm going to say, I think I'm about to cut my hair. Because listen, it's too much, Bianca. It's too much. It's too much. I don't even have an idea in mind. I don't even know. I just know I am tired of having a lot of hair. So I feel like I want to cut it.
Well, last episode we talked about the season of rebirth, so I'm intrigued on what this could look like for you.
That's true. We did.
I wanted you to get some locks. I wanted to see how, but you know, hey, you know.
But you know what? Locks are so permanent. Because you know what I'm not about to do? I know people be combing their locks out. I'm not about to sit there and do that. I'm just gonna shave it off if I have locks and I don't want them no more. Like, I'm not doing that. But actually, because I had said when I turned 50 that or when I'm 50 that I want to go bald, because I never did my big chop to that point. So locks might actually be a viable option, because then at 50 I just cut them off. I'm gonna think about it. But yeah, that's what's been going on with me. It's been all kind of stuff. And I started telling my story about my mom over on TikTok. So I've been having TikTok story time about what's been going on and why this is a thing. Because what I also know is that there are many other people like me who have made the choice to go no contact with their family. And that is something else that people don't understand, because they have, this is the last thing. Y'all be having this. I'm about to go y'all on this. Y'all be having real surface relationships with people. And the more that whoever y'all is, if the shoe don't fit, don't put it on. But if it do, I'm talking to you. Okay. People really be having... People really be having surface relationships with each other and don't really be knowing how people are doing. And you call yourself being in a relationship with somebody and you don't even really know how they're doing, because y'all just sit there and lie to each other all day. What is that? That is so wild. So I keep running across that, and I don't like that. I don't want that. So those people are expeditiously escorted away from me. Okay, I'm done.
For now. Yes, indeed. It's requiring emotional depth for me.
Come on now.
And those type of relationships and those levels of intimacy are very, yes, very important, especially in effective communication. Like, that's a whole masterclass in itself of just communicating with a partner. Yeah.
Not even just a partner, just somebody that you claim that you're going to have any kind of relationship with. I just don't understand how people. Okay, this is not the last thing I'm going to say, because I got something else that I wanted to say. Because I No, for real. I realize that vulnerability is often not present in the room with people in relationships. And to the point, I don't remember if I told this, but I was talking to someone that claimed that they wanted to be my friend. And I asked the person about vulnerability. I was like, what does that word mean to you? And they were like, vulnerability means that you're willing to get hurt. And I was like, okay, sure. And I said, so what are your stances on vulnerability? And they were like, oh, I don't do that. So I said, well, I'm confused, because how do you expect to have a deep relationship with a partner or anyone if you're not going to be vulnerable with them? And they were like, well, I'm not about to let nobody hurt me. So, and I just, no. So that's something else. When you asked earlier about the questions of the village audit, like, where do you stand with vulnerability? Where are you? What do you know how to name Do you know how to honor your feelings? Do you know how to talk about your feelings? Because you know what? If they don't know how to do that for themselves, how can they ever hold mine? Because I am very in touch with my feelings. I used to date this guy, and it was actually during the time where I had had my mental health crisis. I was very like in a fragile state, and I was crying. And he was like, no, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. And I was like, I'm about to cry. So you do whatever you need to do. If you feel uncomfortable, you can leave. I am about to cry. That's what I'm going to do. Because I have the right to feel my feelings. And I didn't feel feelings for the first 40 years of my life because I wasn't allowed to feel. So I'm not about to let somebody else make me have to mute myself because you don't know how to be emotionally vulnerable with your own feelings. So I've been over here slicing and dicing. I'm just saying. I just slicing and dicing because it's exhausting. It's exhausting to have people around you that still don't see you or that don't have the willingness to learn and be curious about you. It's exhausting. Get out of here. That's where I'm at with it. Okay, I'm muting my mic.
Yes, indeed. Well, I think that kind of segues perfectly into what I was going to talk about in my transparency moment, talking about different audits and just making sure that I'm in alignment with God's assignment and my purpose, and all of that is very, very important to me. I just want to say that I really enjoyed our co-working session. And I enjoyed the theme at the very beginning that was discussed, and it was done is better than perfect. And I also added that perfect is never done. And so that has been something that has been stuck with me since it happened. And I've been more confident in getting things done because I am not overthinking as much in the process of getting it done or trying to make modifications to enhance it without finishing the first draft first. And so it has been a great experience for sure in this season of juggling multiple projects and doing different things, which is going to tie me into a video that I do want to show you. And I want to know your thoughts about.
A video. We have a movie
time. Yeah. It is actually a reel from one of our favorite content creators. Okay. And they're actually talking about juggling and handling multiple things as a creative. So I do think that now is a perfect opportunity to add it to the screen and play it. So let me go ahead and share that and get that together here.
All right. I love me a good movie time, baby.
All right, here we go.
Infinites and people who are just amazing at a lot of different things. I want you to resist the urge to do everything at the same time, especially in the beginning. If you're starting your company or starting entrepreneurship and you are a creative and somebody who just is good at a lot of different things, it is tempting to want to do a lot at the same time, especially in the beginning. You want to show how good you are at so many things. The problem is that you create overwhelm for both you and potential clients because they can't figure out what or who you are. So let me give you the example. When I started my career, I was a blogger for years. I was known for my blog. The writing there showed people that I was excellent at that. I was one of the best out here in terms of making people laugh, in terms of bringing culture into my pieces, in terms of consistency. So my brand as a blogger was strong. My voice was strong. People knew what to expect from me. My reputation was solid. So when I decided to do other things, people were more willing to ascribe expertise and excellence to me. The thing is, you have to break through the wall with one thing. And then on the other end of the wall, the other side, then you can do 10. The problem is that we're trying to break through the wall doing four different things at the same time. So people can't nail us down. They can't figure out what to actually ascribe to us. Like, who is that person? Because you came out the gate doing 18 million things, right? Now, here's the thing. I'm not saying you got to do just one thing. No, I know that's not how we built. I know we want to do eight things at the same time. It doesn't mean at one given point, you're only doing that one thing. It means 80% of your attention, or at least 70% of your attention, is on that one thing, the main thing. Then the other 30% or 20% you can spend on the other ancillary things, but you have to identify the main thing. We have a hard time identifying what the main thing is. And then we're trying to do everything at once because we think the more we do, the more we get, when really it's the more focused we are about that one thing that we're then able to break through the wall. When you break through the wall is when you can now spread your wings and do 15 things, because everybody goes, you know what? Whatever they're going to do, I'm going to support it. But if you have not shown that you are prospering in one main thing, if you've not shown your audience and your clients that you are excellent at one main thing, it's going to be hard for them to say you'll be excellent at seven other things. So one of the biggest traps that we get into as creatives, as multi-passionates, is this insistence that we must do all of it at the same time, especially when we get started. What is your main thing right now? From the main thing, you can then build it out. So I started as a blogger, did that. That was my main thing for a long time. Now I'm an author, speaker, marketing coach. I am a book advisor, and I might add more things to it, but because they've already seen my excellence as a blogger, when I became an author, I became a New York Times bestseller because my audience was like, we see how you do. We know you're about to rock it out. Then my speaking, once I became an author, really took off. People see me step on stages, they know I'm going to kill it. And then when I started the Book Academy a year and a half ago, folks was like, say less. We've already seen how well you've done these other things. And then your books are proof that you can actually teach what you're teaching. So figure out what the main thing is. Put a lot of focus on it and priority on it, a lot of resources, and then break through the wall and then all the other ancillary things.
Is that me or you? I think that's me. Am I frozen?
Yeah, you're kind of buffering a bit, but we can hear you clearly though. Looks like she's still buffering. So I'm waiting for Kim to come back on. She's having some technical difficulties over there. And so I know that she'll be able to circle back, but I do want to honor time and continue to share some of these things in the transparent moment. So the co-working space was phenomenal. In the video that was shown, it really got me to thinking of all the different projects that I have been a part of and associated myself with. And so being very intentional of documenting the process and finding that main thing that I want to do. And so I am currently in that process and I'm very, very excited for it. It also helped in the co-working space to have that body doubling. And I had to do some research on it. Yay, I'm so glad you're here. Welcome back. You muted. Can't hear you.
Oh, you were telling them about what we were doing in co-working?
Yeah.
Oh. My internet is acting stupid.
I was sharing about, I had learned about body doubling, and that is a ADHD strategy where you involve another person to help improve focus and motivation. Yes. And so I was sharing how that co-working space just really, truly helped. And I can't wait for us to be able to offer that type of space and environment to others with Strategy Meets Purpose, and making sure that folks that have their dreams and goals, that they're able to have a safe space to do that. And so I really enjoy playing DJ for that. And I can't wait to share the playlist that we've been working on as well.
You know, it's interesting. It really does make a huge difference in how why is the internet?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, I'm gonna just be here on my phone because I don't know why my computer does not want to be right. Yes, so y'all just have to look at me sideways or vertical, but thank you for being in the community. So you were saying that you learned about body doubling and that it's a good strategy. Yeah, it is really helpful, and it creates motivation that might not have been there because you feel like you're not doing it by yourself. So it really is a good strategy. And I agree. I look forward to our co-working times because it allows me to, I know that it's low pressure and it gives me a chance to really think through what I want to do, but I have support there if I need to ask somebody what they think.
Yeah.
You know?
So I'm wondering for people who are watching this now and the folks that will catch this later on the replay, if they've had any experiences with virtual co-working spaces, and if there's one in particular that they really like, if they are interested in being a part of something like that, I would love to know your feedback on that because it has been very helpful to me. The next thing
I'd be interested to, what'd you just say?
Oh, so I was transitioning to the next thing in my transparency moment.
Okay, go ahead. I'm listening.
Okay, so these Facebook memories, boy. It's a hit or miss. Sometimes it triggers things, and other times it makes you feel very empowered and being like, yes, I did this. So I had shared with Kimberlyn that 5 years ago, I created a curriculum of apps that parents needed to be intentional and have awareness of, because children were downloading these apps and were participating in things that could have been harmful to them. And to see that video from 5 years ago, and to see how I show up now versus the production and how I did it then, I am just so grateful. And I just have so much gratitude for what is coming. And it just gave me that inspiration and just that encouragement to keep going, that I am serving my purpose, that I am on target, even when at times I feel like I'm not sure where I am or what placement I have in the world.
Yeah, you definitely have been doing this for a long time. When I was looking at the video, I was like, man, Bianca been saying the same thing for years. And that's what you used to be saying. Like, I've been saying this for years. But you really stand out when we're talking about audits and social media and all those technology things that I think a lot of times we just be like, it don't really matter. Even stuff like, did you change your password? And you were saying something in the thing about how the kids were sharing their passwords. And I remember that. I remember having to tell the children like, hey, not in your account, posting as you. And that wasn't even you because you're giving out your password, baby. You can't do that. But they don't know. And how would they know if we haven't taught them?
There was a Black little girl in the state of Florida that had served time because her so-called friend had posted. Yes, honey. And I had talked about it on the Underground, one of those series that I was doing advocating for social media safety. It happened in the state, and I'll post the link in the comments so that y'all can reference what I'm talking about. But seeing that just again, just lit the fire. Something I want to put on the screen because it's just like this happened, but had an opportunity 2 years ago today of being with Black Voters Matter Fund. I'm actually with one of the co-founders, Cliff, right there. And being able to mobilize people to vote. Now, this year, my participation changed a bit where I haven't been on the ground as much, but I did participate in the social ambassador training for the nationwide Democrats. Mm-hmm. And I do and have access to some of the media content for distribution, and also have access to reach voters and to research people's voting history. Mm-hmm. So I've been able to do some phone banking and reaching out to folks, particularly as this election is very, very important. And I just want to just uplift that I need y'all to check your status and make sure that you are intentional down this ballot, because it is very vital what is happening in the United States of America. And I need folks to be intentional with who they're putting into office and why.
Can I just say, as far as like knowing your status, so I know that early voting has started in some places, but like, you know, Kalanda and I are abroad. So the other day, just over the weekend, I was like, let me go ahead and fill out my ballot. And it was supposed to be totally electronic, but it's not. So they're requiring me to mail it in. And that was not what was said. And mind you, I'm voting through Pennsylvania, which is also wild. And it makes me feel like my vote kind of counts more, I guess, because it's such a battleground state. But the reason I brought it up is, had I not looked, and let's say I had waited thinking I could just email it in, then I would be behind the deadline. So for anybody who is abroad or absentee voting or whatever, please make sure that you're looking at the directions very closely. And it's just so many policies have been changing about voting and what you got to bring and like all that kind of stuff. And I don't know, maybe you, what are things like there in Tallahassee as people are preparing to vote? Because has the early voting started in Florida?
Yes, early voting has started in Florida, and people are going and casting their ballot. It's getting very aggressive. Like today I got a handwritten card to vote. It says, "Dear Miss Goolsbee, our rights are on the ballot November 5th. Reproductive freedom, voting, gun safety, education, Medicare, Social Security. Avoid long lines by voting early and in person. Bring photo ID and tell your friends in solidarity." And they signed their name. Their name is Jill. So thank you, Jill. Wow. And they are a volunteer with Reclaim Our Vote. So folks are on the ground in Tallahassee. There are events that are immobilized, that people are sign waving and volunteering to be a poll worker. There are people that are very active this year and wanting to be involved and wanting to volunteer. And so I'm seeing a lot of that in Tallahassee.
Yeah, it's a lot. Like you said, these Facebook memories have been, wow, that's been coming up around this time. And it's interesting. It's interesting because our friendiversary is coming up. We'll have our next show. We'll have to celebrate our friendiversary. But it's you know, every time around this time of year, that's what was happening. It was election time.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Another one of my Facebook memories was me talking about me taking off the mask and the hashtag taking my life back. And it felt really, really good to kind of look back at that post, read it, and it still resonate with me, and feeling like even as time has changed, even as location has changed, status change, all of these different changes, the core of me, of being unapologetic, showing up, wanting to honor the three keys, like that is something that is very, very important to me and really made me joyful today.
Yeah.
Looking back and preparing, you know, to talk about this today with you, like I felt so much joy looking back, and even with some of the Facebook memories that were triggering that set, you know, things off in me, I still had joy knowing that at the end of the day, I still have been solid with what I said and how I was going to show up regardless of what changes have happened in my life.
Yeah. You've been through a lot, friend.
I definitely have a testimony. And like the teaching for the culture pledge, it says that we're going to use our story to change the world. And so I wholeheartedly believe that and look at that pledge almost every single day as I'm starting my day. It does set the tone for me. Yeah.
So I wonder, I was gonna say, like, if you miss any of the former life, I just wonder how it feels to be sitting in a completely different space, place, and time in reality while looking back at what the former life was like.
Oof. There have been times where grieving a living person is so hard. And then when you are grieving a living person, those dreams and those things that were spoken and promised and things that you were looking forward to, like, those things have came up and have set me back, and having to ground myself and really heal and continuing to heal. Like, I can't say that I'm healed with the ED. It's an ING. It is a process. It is still going and will continue to go, because I went going around in the community saying that I'm a first lady because I was technically the first lady of this district. And now I'm like, yeah, well, you know, who am I now?
Yeah.
And so the process of this rebirth has been so amazing for me. And it has been such a beautiful journey, although I have no idea where things are going. I know that there's been some plot twists left and right, but again, I am buckled in and I'm ready for the ride, because I know what God has told me, and I want to be obedient this time. I haven't always been, and I still struggle with my obedience at times, and that's just me being very vulnerable, but like, that's real. So taking my life back and promising that I was going to show up and to try to show up without fear and continuing to walk without fear. I am trying every single day, truly. And it's given me joy to talk about it. And I just want that for everybody. I want people to have that joy in their walk, because life is life and people are peopling.
Yeah. I guess I wonder how I was surviving before without the intentionality on joy. You know, like, I wonder, because I never really thought about it. You know, it was just kind of like another day, like we in the, just doing the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. And now I can't imagine having to decenter joy out of my life, because everything is about what brings me joy and what that looks like and sounds like. So I couldn't imagine like having to go back to a life that doesn't bring joy, or having to be in situations that don't bring me joy. Like, it just doesn't, it doesn't feel possible.
Mm. Yeah. This joy that I'm actively going for it every time, shooting my shot, asking those questions, saying the things of how I feel. It has been life changing for me.
Yeah. I see Kalanda's coming. She said, for me, it was pure autopilot. It's glorious to take time to focus. When I was facilitating yesterday, I had asked the participants about their favorite color sky. And, you know, that's one of my questions that I like to ask after Frank and I on one of my favorite podcasts. But I had told them the question resonated with me so much, because there had been how many days, nights, mornings, evenings that I never even paid attention to what the sky looked like. You know, so it really is like it's a reminder to stop and pay attention and give honor and credence to what God is doing all around me, even when I'm in the midst of whatever my situation might be. Somebody sent me a TikTok the other day, and it was talking about how many planets that there are, or how many galaxies there are, and how many planets there are in the different galaxies. And it said that there are so many planets that it is more than the grains of sand on all of the beaches on the Earth. And wow. That blew my mind, because sometimes I get so wrapped up into the small, the small idea of me and like what's happening right now in this moment, and forgetting that there's so much more out there, and there's so much more that's happening, and there's so much more that I can be focusing on and thinking about. Like, it just really made me be like, dang, I really want to stop and pay attention even more than I do.
Yes, indeed.
Did you hear the last thing I said?
No, I think it cut out.
I said it makes me want to stop and pay attention even more than I do.
Ah, yes.
You know, and to be intentional about stopping and paying attention to what's happening around me, as opposed to being on autopilot and just going through the motions. Like, I want to stop and take note and take notice, you know?
And be present.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being present.
Yeah. Exactly.
Something else I have wanted to share.
What?
So, as I was on this weekend trip with my parents. When I tell you, like, the inner child, man, it did me some good. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed being there with my family. I enjoyed being there for my dad. I enjoyed being able to go see my mom and to put flowers and to revitalize, you know, her resting space, and being able to shoot my shot and receiving some coloring pencils so where I can continue to color and do the things that bring me joy. And, you know, today I was asked if I wanted a coloring book, and I decided that I wanted to get a SpongeBob coloring book. And so God is providing a SpongeBob coloring book because, again, shooting your shot. So, okay. Amen to that. And in this season, as I'm like on this rebirth, like the audits. So the digital audit, I have to say that I went to my screen time report. Mm-hmm. There was an 11% increase, but I do understand why that's occurring, and I have no judgment about it.
Okay.
A lot more activity on my phone lately, and I'm enjoying the activity that has been on my phone lately. So that's just where I'm at with that. But I have so many passwords that I need to change over still. And so that's been a process. I'm still going through my contacts and still, again, making sure that things are in alignment. I want to make sure I have people's birthday in my phone and just all the things. I want to make sure information is accessible, because all of these different systems that are not really talking to each other is preventing my productivity. And it's a lot. And so I'm sure people understand, because just with cloud storage, you're paying Apple if you have an iPhone. Right. Then you got Dropbox. You might have Google Drive. So that's three storage.
Yep.
Already, that, you know what I mean? So it's a lot. So there's people that are like running out of storage and they don't want to pay Apple, or there's there's people that are paying it, like whether they're paying Google for the extended, you know, storage so that you can, you know, store your digital files. And I'm in the process of being like, I don't need to keep every single receipt. And that has been an interesting journey for
because
me.
It's so hard, because you might need it and you never know when somebody gonna come with their foolishness trying to lie.
I'm having a very hard time.
So are you gonna, like, what have you been thinking? Because, for instance, they say, like for documents, they keep documents for like 5 years. I think so. Like, does that feel standard for you? Or because I feel like that's, I don't know. What you think?
Like, a person needs to understand, like, people need to understand that I have old phones that can be plugged in to where receipts can be produced on that old phone for like back since like 2014. Okay. So setting that there, I'm having a hard time with even putting a number to it. I'm having a hard time determining where things go and how, truly. Like, I know that with my cloud storage in particular, I want to make sure like all my business files are together and all of that. But like receipts that I want to keep just in case, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
screenshots and video clips. Like, I've had to pull some things out the arsenal recently because, just again, people like receipts don't.
That's what I mean.
And even having to do that, like, makes me very like, I don't want to delete anything because here we are, but also I should be able to release things that no longer serve me. So I'm just kind of like,
I understand both of those. I feel that very deeply because I'm the same way. That's what we bonded over, was receipts. You know, I'm the exact same way. And
when I be trying to delete stuff, like, you know, they say as neurodivergent people, we have a lot of screenshots, right? Just period. And I do. And also I do be going back to them though, because people be trying it. And sometimes you got to go back and be like, let me help you understand how much I'm not playing with you. You know?
Yes.
So I get the dilemma. I don't know. Y'all tell us what y'all do. Because I just be like, I'm going to keep it all.
Like, when do you just delete the receipts?
Yeah, that's a good question.
When, what's the cutoff time of like going back and addressing a situation if need be? Like, I have so many wonderings on that, because we often talk about receipts and keeping receipts, but also like,
for how long?
Because the storage is adding up, baby. So
that's the thing.
These that's files the are thing. Getting larger.
Yes.
So some got to give.
Yeah, that's the thing. We got to figure that out. I can't imagine. I know you probably have 10 times the amount of receipts that I have. Because you had your good old receipt book, baby, that Google Drive, honey. Like, you do, you got receipts. Yeah, I don't know. We got to come up with a system or something.
Yes, indeed.
Because I feel like you, like, even if you are not like using it to get somebody together, that it's a part of the story. You know, like, how am I getting rid of that? I never delete anything out of sight, out of mind. Kalonda, you got a whole different level.
Oh boy. Oh shoot.
She be having so many. I'm not gonna put her business out there. Okay, girl. I was just saying, okay, girl.
Yes, indeed. Little baby said, don't come for me. Yes, indeed.
She's talking about, thank you. I could hear her in the kitchen laughing. Yeah, but we got the free summer our storage, Bianca. What are we gonna do?
So this is what I was thinking.
Okay.
I was thinking that we have an event doing a digital audit and using the strategy of body doubling to ensure that this gets done. So our goal is to have some independent work time, have some music playing, and we go through our different storage drives and just do an audit. We have to do this in phases, because otherwise...
I was about to say, girl, storage drive. I thought we would start with like contacts. That felt easier.
Well, we can start with even just creating a list of all the different things that we want to cover in this digital audit, because it's so much, from contacts, passwords, website bookmarks. I mean, the list goes on and on.
I'm not ready for websites and bookmarks and passwords. Now that's next level. I need the training wheel plan. I'm gonna, you know how when they used to do back in the day when they do the exercise videos and it was somebody that was doing the low impact? That's me. I need the low impact version. The digital audit light. That's what
Yes, indeed.
That's what I need. Okay. So I just need, we just scale it back. Just have differentiation, you know, differentiation.
Yeah. Kalana said bookmarks. So like, sad story. So I went through my Google account. There's an actual way that you can actually look at your data and actually download your data from Google. We'll have to have a whole nother conversation about that at a later time. But when I did that process, I inadvertently did a reset, and there's a encryption password that's placed in there. And I don't know what that password is. which means that I have to reset everything. So all of my bookmarks, some of the passwords that are saved, the cookies, all of that will eventually just go away and I have to start anew. I am not ready and I'm not prepared to hit that button yet. So it is currently set where it's encrypted, but I don't know the password. So again, a digital audit with passwords and all of that. This is why I'm serious about it, because I'm also experiencing it too. So I'm going to be very intentional about documenting the process, because I've been recording some Loom videos of some of the things I've been doing up to date. But when I talk about like this IT support and getting focused, there's a lot of stuff that is happening on these digital spaces that are harming people, whether they're children, elderly, and folks in between.
I agree. I definitely think it's necessary. I know it's also overwhelming. You know, it becomes overwhelming for me. You remember I had cleaned out my email inbox when I had moved to Playa? Yeah. And then my life got overwhelmed again. So it's not as bad as it was then, but it is definitely my inbox is full. Like, I had got my inbox to the place where it was empty and everything was filed away and all of that. And you also remember I had that assistant, and that assistant did more harm than good, child, because I'm still finding stuff in folders that wasn't supposed to. Child, let me tell y'all something. If y'all ever look to hire an assistant, first of all, do it yourself. Don't use any companies that do it for you, because that does not work well. Also, be very, very intentional about making sure, like, that the person cares about their work, because while I thought that the person did, they did not. They did not. So I'm still undoing a lot of that damage that was done. So anyway, I just said all that to say, I know it can be overwhelming. So I just want to volunteer to be on the light plan. I see that Kalonda will be there with me. You all can, whoever else can share in the comments, who will also be doing the light variety with me. Okay. So we just going to do a soft little slide in there, and you know, we got to work our way up to passwords and bookmarks and such, honey. We on the, yeah. I just wanted to make sure that I verbalized that for those of us who are like, ma'am, relax with cookies. What? Relax, relax, relax. Okay. So, all right.
Yes, I will make sure that that happens. And for the folks that are subscribed to our newsletter, when that is available and ready, you'll have access to that first. So I will make sure that that happens, because it's necessary and needed.
Yeah, very nice. Okay. So anything else on your transparency moment?
That was all.
That was all. My God. Today. Goodness. Well, the last thing I wanted to talk about was a concept called respectability politics. And it's interesting because it came up tonight in my training with the educators that I was training. And I wanted to make a confession, because I really used to be a very, very, very judgmental person. I also was the grammar police. Like, some days I still am, but it's a process. Okay. But the reason I thought about it is because when I had facilitated, or when I had did the event yesterday, I mentioned that I was a podcaster, and the people were like, oh my gosh, like, where's your podcast? And I was like, okay, listen, I be cussing. Okay, I just watched, like, I be cussing. And I felt the need to say that, but it was so interesting because their faces were like, what's the podcast, girl? It's so interesting, like, how we have deemed people to be devoid of intelligence because they curse or use colorful language or whatever, and not just devoid of intelligence, devoid of Christianity, devoid of morality, devoid of worth, because they speak differently than us. And I've really just been like thinking about that myself, like how that has shown up for me, but then also how I have created those conditions for other people. And I don't want to do that. You know, so I've been like really having a critical look at what I consider to be quote unquote respectful, because it is becoming more and more evident to me how many definitions that that word has. You know, it is a very, very subjective concept. And it kind of goes back to earlier, like if we have to be in a position to be able to have these conversations so that we can have these agreements in place about how we're going to conduct ourselves, right? And a part of that is being able to show up as your real self. Like, it was a long time when people were like, I didn't know that you cursed. And I was like, let me tell you something. And you know what's so funny is I didn't curse for, I had stopped cursing for probably like, it might have been almost 8 or 9 years I stopped cursing because I was trying to be a good Christian and I was in church and I was teaching Sunday school. I stopped cursing. I stopped listening to secular music. I would only listen to like the Christian talk radio. Like it was a very interesting time. And then one day I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. But when I was in middle school, like I told you, that was my job. My job used to be to curse everybody out because I wouldn't fight, but I knew how to curse. So I would curse everybody out. But anyway, all of that like makes up me. Mm-hmm. Right. And it doesn't diminish the brilliance that I have. It doesn't mean I don't know what I'm talking about. It means that I'm choosing to use these words right now for whatever reason. So I wonder what your thoughts are on that.
So I will say that I was raised in an environment where colorful language was frowned upon. So you had to figure out how something else to communicate. Now, being the natural rebellious person that I am, I did and do use colorful language to describe things. And I think that there has been a lot of judgment around folks that chooses to use certain words and certain settings. I do think that there are like a time and a place type situation. Uh-huh. And, I think that there are some things that are clearly appropriate and clearly inappropriate. And so like making sure that we're very clear on what those boundaries and parameters are. I think that we're getting kind of unclear on what these boundaries and parameters are. And that's what's causing a lot of confusion and chaos that we're witnessing and seeing. But off that tangent, I hope people are free to express themselves the way that they desire and not be judged for it.
Yeah. It's interesting because the reason it came up tonight is they were talking about kids and honoring the humanity of kids. And a teacher was like, so if my student says, Miss, can I ask you a question? You understand what they're saying. You understand that they're saying, can I ask Barry to correct them, correct from them saying ax to ask. No, it's actually something that you're doing to try to hold a system, you know, over them. And it just, it really made me just start thinking. And it's something I've just been thinking about, especially with learning a new language. And not so much about cursing, but like I said, I was the grammar police. There are so many reasons of why someone might not be speaking grammatically correct. Whatever that means, correct. Speaking the King's English, you know. There are so many reasons. And a lot of times the reason is because they know another language. So it's so wild that people who only know one language feel superior to correct people who actually speak more than one language, and their brain is just a little confused because they are translating back and forth. Just something to think about. While a lot of the rhetoric in the U.S. right now is about immigrants and all of that, an accent in the U.S. is very much a dangerous thing to have because the tolerance is not there to understand that this person just has a different lived experience. So I just challenge us all to think about that and think about what we consider to be respectable, how we are judging people by the language that they are using, and are we being more concerned with policing somebody than hearing and understanding what they're actually saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah.
Let people be free to just be, man.
That's it. Please. That's it.
Because life that is already hard enough. And so I'm just tired of people intentionally making it more difficult when it doesn't have to be. Like, life is already hard enough. Just be a good human, please. That's just what we're asking. Just be a good human and move about your business. That's all.
That's it. That's all. That's it. That's all. So thank y'all for hanging in this chaotic show. Hopefully you got something out of it during the times. I finished my hair and that is an accomplishment. Yes, I'm just going to, it's going to dry like this and then I'm going to take it down and we'll see what happens. We're going to call it a wash and go situation. We'll see. But thank y'all for letting me show up as myself. You know, that is why we created this space, so that we're able to show up transparently and authentically and vulnerably. So we appreciate you all holding space for that and walking along this journey with us.
Yes, indeed. Well, tell the people where they could find you.
So y'all can find me at KimberlynJackson.com. If you are looking for me to do something in a professional capacity, whether that be hosting or facilitating or something like that, there is a contact form over there. So KimberlynJackson.com. Also over there, you can find my blog where I started talking about my lived experiences way back, I want to say in 2017. So please do go and check that out. And then also Mind About Black Ass Business on all platforms. Forms.
Yes,
me, my cousin Kalanda are there. We have our podcast, So You Don't Put Syrup on Your Grilled Cheese. And also our Patreon, where we share behind the scenes stuff and vlogs and all of that kind of stuff. So Mind My Black Ass Business, KimberlynJackson.com. Holla at your girl. Where can they find you?
Oh, listen, you can find me minding my business. Okay. And minding my black ass business. And you can find me at BiancaGoolsby.com. On there, you'll see links to my different ventures and some of the articles that I've published. And even in that, the digital audit, like going through and redefining some things, because it's important. It's really, really important that I show up in this rebirth in the way that I need to. So I'm looking forward to y'all connecting with us, subscribing. The subscribers on YouTube is growing. So thank you. The folks that are listening to the podcast version of this on iHeartRadio and Apple Podcasts, thank you. Thank you for the reviews that you're leaving us. It means a lot to us. We are definitely here committed to doing the work to heal. And we want folks to heal out here because life is already hard enough. And so we need to experience joy and ultimately our freedom and fulfillment.
Amen. Amen. So our next show is the day after the election.
Girl, yeah.
Ooh-wee. All right. Well, I guess we're going to have a lot to heal that day, huh?
It's going to be real spicy. Okay. So this is why I need people to make sure that your voices are heard. This is the call to action to make sure that you know your status wherever you are, making sure that you are intentional down the entire ballot.
Yeah.
The entire ballot. And knowing who these people are, what they represent, what they stand for before you bubble it in and make sure that you turn it in and make sure your ballot is counted. It is very important. This is a very vital election. So please be intentional, folks. Please.
So if y'all got to this point, y'all leave in the comments and let us know what your voting plan is. Just share in the comments what your voting plan is. And if you have voted already, yay. Yay you. Please do share that. But please let's hold each other accountable with that. We are going to vote tomorrow. So we're going to print off our absentee ballots and stuff and figure out how to mail it. So that is that's our project tomorrow. But please do share with us y'all's voting plan.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Well, we will be back. November is the 6th, right?
Yeah.
November 6th. That's my cousin's birthday. We'll be back on November 6th, y'all. And we gonna talk about whatever is happening, because I'm sure it's going to be a lot. My God, today. All right. Well, buckle up.
Buckle up, baby.
Buckle up. Wow. All right, y'all. We love you.
Yes, indeed. We do. Bye.